Eddie and I met at a New Year's Eve party. I was into older men at the time, quite frankly. People that knew how to do things and were in charge and whatnot. And suddenly I ended up stuck with somebody that didn't know. Everybody said he was after my money, but I had none, so that wasn't a problem. And it just happened, you know. And then suddenly, 20 years later, it dawned on us that we were living like married people. We were, in fact, married. Mm-hmm. And I asked him to marry me. His answer was, why not? Pourquoi pas?
Michael Hendricks and his partner Renee LaBeouf applied for their marriage license on September 14th, 1998. They were denied because Canada, like most countries in the world, does not permit same-sex couples to marry. Michael and Renee, however, are one of 19 couples in three Canadian provinces currently involved in legal actions to overturn this prohibition. This November, courts in Ontario and Quebec held hearings on the lawsuits in those provinces.
Go into the chapel and we're gonna get married.
Joanna and Martha were presenting the case for civil licenses, and they started off with a very moving presentation about the fact that the case is about love and hate, and that in our system there's no hierarchy of love.
The principal argument advanced in all three cases is that Canada's refusal to allow same-gender couples to marry violates Canada's Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which specifically bans discrimination based on sexual orientation. In Ontario, there is a delightful twist. An argument advanced by the Metropolitan Community Church of Toronto that the government's refusal to acknowledge same-gender marriages violates their freedom of religion. MCCT lawyer Douglas Elliott explains.
Our marriage law is based on the English law. England has a state religion. Ontario was established by Tories who fled from the United States and who subscribed to the notion of an established state church. And so in 1793, the first Ontario marriage law said that the only legally recognized marriages were Anglican marriages. In the 80s, we had the introduction of the Charter of Rights, which entrenched freedom of religion in Section 2A, and the Big M Drug Mart case, while it was argued in that case that the prohibition on Sunday shopping was, in fact, a purely secular law, the Supreme Court of Canada looked at the historical roots of the law and said this law was really based on earlier laws that enforced the state religious dogma. The Supreme Court of Canada said that any laws that enforce a particular religious perspective in this country offend Section 2A of the Charter, and that's a case on which we placed a great deal of reliance. The only logical reason for the bar to same-sex marriage is this historical Christian Anglican definition of marriage that has informed the law of Canada.
In Quebec, we don't really have any pre-Confederation rule about what marriage is and what marriage isn't.
And France Goldwater is legal counsel for Michael Hendricks and Renee LaBeouf in Montreal.
All we were attacking was the one law that did exist, which was a pretty fresh new provision in our civil code that was only passed in 1994 and said marriage must be between a man and a woman. So we rubbed our hands in collective glee and said, well, the province has no right to do that. Ever since Confederation, the power has been given to the federal government to make rules about marriage and divorce. So we said, heck, this is an easy case. Our federal and provincial governments did what they know how to do best, which is pass laws without letting any Canadian people know about the laws they're going to pass. And they passed a little law called S4, a federal law now, that said marriage must be between a man and a woman. Now, this particular law only applies to Quebec. So it's kind of a, queer situation.
Regardless of whether Canada's prohibition on same-sex marriage comes from Parliament, as in Quebec, or from court precedents, as in the rest of Canada, those who are challenging the ban need only show that it discriminates based on sexual orientation in order to make their case in court. From there, the onus shifts to the federal government, who, if they wish to continue the discrimination, must persuade the court that it is demonstrably justified in a free and democratic society. Cynthia Peterson is the lawyer representing EGAL, Canada's National Queer Rights Lobby Group, in the case in Ontario. She outlines the position taken by the federal government in all three hearings.
The primary focus is that marriage just is heterosexual in its essence, and the government claims that that's true across all cultures and since time immemorial. And they tie that to a sort of limited definition of procreation. They claim that since heterosexual couples are the only couples that together can biologically produce a child, that that's a unique form of procreation that has to be supported in order to maintain humanity. The government's lawyers actually stated that baldly, that civilization would somehow not exist if we didn't have heterosexuals marrying and procreating.
When they heard that the federal government's justification for the distinction was procreation, fundamentally, I think the judges were remarkably unimpressed. I think they were hoping that there was going to be more to it than that.
I was so waiting. I didn't know whether I was filled with dread or apprehension about what would be said. Would something cogent and brilliant be said that would so demolish arguments that would make it so evident what it is that the het population needs to continue to survive and function? And nothing was ever said. The government lawyers, who were so busy finger-pointing at each other, you know, that nobody ever actually bothered to say anything to explain why it's the end of the world as we know it if gays and lesbians can marry.
It is hard to sit there and listen to your government tell you that you're not a full member of the Canadian family, you're not as deserving of respect as other Canadians.
Jill Varnell is one of Douglas Elliott's clients. He and his partner Kevin Barassa were married in the Metropolitan Community Church of Toronto on January 14th of this year. They attended the hearing every day and reported on it on their website, www.samesexmarriage.ca.
I think the justices were all extremely interested in the arguments and they had all read the material. Their questions to both sides really asked them to talk outside of the big, broad, sweeping generalities and talk in specific terms. Some of the questions that they asked of our side were specifically, well, if we have to strike down the common law, which says marriage is one man and one woman, doesn't that mean that no one can get married? And they really wanted to focus specifically on the remedy. If there is discrimination, what do we do about it? To the other side, they didn't accept, A, the procreation argument. They wanted them to admit that gays and lesbians can have children, can raise children in loving homes. And they didn't accept the sky is falling or something bad will happen. They really wanted specifics. If you forbid gays and lesbians from marrying, what bad things happen? As to a prediction, well, I'm hoping that the side of right, truth, justice, and light will prevail. I certainly think they're going to make a well-informed and reasoned decision. These were all very reasonable people, judging from the questions they asked.
For This Way Out, I'm Heather Kitching in Vancouver.